One of the first things that people ask about Arabic music is the quarter tone, the note that lies in between the notes of the Western scale. My answer is that the quarter tone is a misnomer because there's nothing quarter about it. Yes, I and other Arab musicians talk about quarter tones, but in fact this is a shorthand because the reality is too complex to describe with one short phrase. Arab and Western theorists have tried to give a systematic description to the microtones used in Arabic and more broadly maqam-based music for several centuries. But before I proceed with the discussion of those systems, I'd like to play for you a short example. 12 different notes, all of which I and other musicians would refer to as some kind of E. If you listened carefully, you heard 12 different notes, each one slightly lower than the preceding one. Thanks to the magic of digital splicing, I took the E from 12 different maqam phrases and juxtaposed them next to each other so you could hear the differences. The first one was from maqam ajam, which resembles C major. The E in this case is the third note, which we would call an E natural. Here's the phrase in ajam from which I took the note. The second to the last of my 12 notes was from maqam Nahawand, which resembles C minor. The E in this case is also the third note, what we would call E flat. Here's the phrase. And here's a typical quarter tone E, the third note of maqam Rust, what we would call E half flat. Here's the phrase in Rust. The Rust E is actually note 6 in my original sequence. In between these, there is in fact a whole spectrum of notes. Now listen to all 12 phrases. Before each, I'll tell you the maqam and which note of the maqam the E is. First, ajam on C, and the E is the third note. Hijaz on C, third note. Sikabelody on C, third note. Thank you. Jiharka on C. Third note. Sika on E half flat. First note. Rust on C, third note. Bayati on D, second note. Saba on D, second note. Hijaz on D, second note. Kurd on D, second note. Nahawand on C, third note. Bayati on G, sixth note. In the shorthand of music notation and description, most musicians would refer to the first four as varieties of E natural, the middle four as varieties of E half flat, and the last four as varieties of E flat. Let's hear all 12 E's again right next to each other. Now, one thing you may have noticed is the fact that some of these E's are closer to each other than others. The difference between the Rust and Bayati E half flats in these examples is barely noticeable. What is my point in all this? First, to show you that it doesn't make sense to claim that the Arabic scale is divided into 24 rather than 12 notes. In between the highest E natural and the lowest E flat, there are at least 10 different notes, not just one. Furthermore, you are hearing one standard of intonation, mine. I'm mostly trained in Egyptian music with some training in Syria as well. However, in general, the E half flats in Syria are higher than those in Egypt, and those in Iraq and Turkey are even higher. And a careful listening to old recordings in the repertory would reveal to you that even in one region, Egypt for example, there have been shifts in the acceptable intonation of these notes. So if you were to add up and distinguish all of the different varieties of E's among different traditions of Arabic music and different periods of time, my prediction is that you would find upwards of 20 different E's between the lowest E flat and the highest E natural. One of the most commonly referenced theories to account for microtones in Arabic music is the so-called comma system. This system, which is commonly used in Turkish theory as well, was put forward at the first Cairo Conference of Arabic Music in 1932, attended by such Western luminaries as Bela Bartok and Henry George Farmer and a host of others, and with musicologists and musicians from all over the Arab world. Umm Kulthum was there, Muhammad Gubanji from Iraq came, and some of his greatest recordings are from that conference. At this conference, they attempted to test the 24-note scale theory by using an electronic tuner to tune the notes of a qanun to exact quarter tones. A musician then played the maqams using this qanun, and all of the musicians listening agreed that it sounded out of tune with respect to the intonations they were used to for the maqams. So they had to come up with another system. Coming from the West, many of the theoreticians were accustomed to the idea of dividing the octave into equal divisions, which began with a system of equal temperament developed over the course of the 17th and 18th centuries in Europe for the tuning of keyboard instruments. To their mindset, equal divisions of the octave were the only thing that made sense. Therefore, they proposed that the octave be divided into 54 equal parts, called commas. The whole step, 1/6 of an octave, was then divided into 9 commas. Because in just intonation, half-steps are of unequal size, they approximated the half-step between D and E-flat to be 4 commas, not 4.5 commas, and they felt that this approximation better reflected musical reality. There are a number of problems with this system, not least of which is the fact that dividing the scale into equal parts doesn't make sense for Arabic music. In Arabic music, as in just intonation, or natural, pure intonation, a whole step does not equal 1/6 of an octave, because fourths and fifths are tuned pure in Arabic music. This isn't really the place for a more detailed discussion of that, but I should add that I'm also in the process of writing a paper on this subject, which I will link to this site. However, one of the biggest problems with the comma system should be obvious to all of you who listen to my musical examples. According to the comma system, there are 5 commas between E-flat and E-natural. 5 equal divisions doesn't leave room for the 12 different notes you heard, whether or not you believe me that there may be more than 20 different notes in use between E-flat and E-natural. So what should we do? Should we propose 12 equal divisions of the half-step, or 20, or 50, or 117? I think it should be obvious that these are ridiculous ideas for a number of reasons. First, they're based on the fallacy of equal divisions. Anyone who cares to measure the exact intonation of my 12 notes will discover what should be obvious to any ear. The differences between them are not equal. They're not equal steps. Second, a systematic theoretical explanation of the microtonal system along the lines of those envisioned by Western theoreticians has no practical musical or pedagogical value. In fact, in my view, such a system is an obstacle to a proper understanding of the maqam system. Let me explain. Suppose that someone bothered to measure the exact frequency ratios among the intonations in common usage. Does anyone think that giving students a measurement would be a useful tool in helping them to produce the note? Let's say we had musical scores with different E's, with each different E marked with its frequency value. A musician trying to read such a score would be at a loss. Our ears and brains don't function as sonometers. We can't produce a certain frequency ratio at will. A Westerner who has played the piano all his life will most likely sing half steps in equal temperament. Anything else will just be some random note out of tune. An Arab singer will be able to produce microtones of different sizes. musicians or listeners of other traditions will be able to reproduce and recognize what they are used to. But let's examine the reverse. Listen for a moment to these three different E's. Can you tell me which maqams they're from? No, I doubt it. Now, many of you may say that that's because you're not used to Arabic music, but surely an Arabic musician could. I'll answer you with this. Juxtaposed like that, three notes, just one after the other, I can't even tell which ones they are, and I was the one who produced them in the first place. Why can't I or any other Arab musician tell? Because these notes, as I've presented them here, exist in isolation, and we understand the intonations of notes based on their relationships with the notes around them and their relationship to the mode or maqam they're in. Once I play you a phrase with the notes included, any experienced listener will know immediately what the maqam is. Here are the phrases for those three notes I played. Furthermore, an experienced listener will be able to tell you when a specific note is out of tune with respect to a certain maqam, but only if a melody of the maqam is presented, not if a scale is simply played or a few notes in isolation. So what can you take away from this? You know now that there are many different notes in use in Arabic music and maqam music generally, but what good is that knowledge? My answer, it is useless in isolation. The important thing to my mind is to begin to understand that the intonations in Arabic music cannot be learned in isolation. This note is higher than that one, or you should lower that note slightly. You will rarely, if ever, hear any of these different E's played right next to each other, as each one has such a distinctly different flavor with respect to its maqam. So how to develop a sense for these intonations? By absorbing the characteristic melodies of each maqam. Each note is embedded in characteristic melodies, and its particular intonation lends those melodies a distinctive flavor, which is more memorable to the ear than notes in isolation. What Arab music listeners and Arab musicians have in their ears is the memory of a large body of melodies. Each melody type, each maqam, has its own characteristic feeling. What sticks in the ear is a song. The feeling of that song and the intonation of the notes in it are inseparable, and therefore it doesn't make sense to learn those intonations in isolation. It is necessary to learn them, to learn and remember songs, phrases, and melodies. Only the gradual process of absorbing a repertory of these songs and melodies will make the intonations of these notes distinct to you. And I can tell you from personal experience, it takes years to have a precise grasp of the microtonal details used in Arabic music. No theoretical understanding of the frequency relationships among notes will help in the slightest, as the ear hears maqam as particular qualities. However, the classification of notes into broad categories, E naturals, E half flats, E flats, is more useful in a general sense once you have an understanding that the intonations of these notes differ from maqam to maqam. Arab musicians will continue to use the shorthand nomenclature of a quarter tone, because it simplifies things from the descriptive point of view, and they already have in their ears those subtle differences. It makes sense to say the E half flat in Sika, or the E half flat in Saba, or the E flat in Hijaz, and understand that these intonations are related to each maqam. Learning the melodies of each maqam will develop the practical side of that understanding for those of you who are students. So, since my ears are already aching from the bizarre sound of those notes juxtaposed against each other, I'd like to end with two short examples. I'll play for you some Rust and some Jiharka. And both of those are pretty close to each other in the intonation of their third note. But instead of juxtaposing those notes right next to each other, I'm going to give you each an example with an appropriate time to feel the maqam and the relationship of the intonation of the notes to the overall feeling of the maqam. I'm joined now by my friend Johnny Farage. Hello. Johnny.
Hi,
the creator of maqamworld.com and the Rick Player, whom you've already heard on two of these podcasts.
Or as someone called it, maqamworld.com.
Didn't you already make that joke on one of the earlier podcasts?
No, one of Amir's friends made that joke.
Oh, yeah.
Rudy.
All right, so let's do some Rust first. This was Rust. Now let's do a little Jiharka on the same tonic.
Thank you.
Amazing how just slightest difference in the intonation of two notes can just change the whole feeling.
Beautiful, yeah.
Thanks very much, Johnny.
Thank you.